Hello. Yeah, wow. Thank you. Wonderful introduction. And yeah, you kind of echoed my thoughts very closely there in that, as far as being here, in Narendra, my real claim to fame with you guys is I'm Becca's dad. So, and, we're very proud of our daughter. And, she's amazing. She's anointed. And, yeah. And it's a great privilege to be here. I am feeling very honored, but probably more honored, more than honored. I'm feeling a little bit terrified. No, it's great. And I really appreciate the invite. But it is kind of scary to, you know, come, and we have a great love for Trevor and the whole team. But really, when Trevor first came up, and met our leadership team and just spent, I think it was one of our Thursday night dinners that we have with the church once a month, and Trev was there and he shared briefly, and people just thought, wow, we love this guy. And, that was, you know, when you're building a church from the ground up and you've got people coming into the church and they have no idea what CRC is or what, you know, who do we belong to? What even is this thing that we're doing? And so just having people come in, and earlier in the year, as we had the whole executive team up there, having their meeting up with us, and the church got to meet all of the guys, like you know, Steve Rand and Rod and the whole team, Jeff from Albury, and it was just a beautiful strengthening of the connection that we have. And so, yeah. But I do come, and, you know, when I've been pondering, you know, and asking the Lord and seeking God's heart for what he would like me to share this morning, and I tell you, the first thing that was coming to my mind was just a couple of things that Paul says. That, you know, at the start of Romans, he actually says, I long to come to you to bring you something spiritual to make you strong. You know, we say spiritual gift, but it's not like a spiritual gift as in charismata. It's just like something spiritual to make you strong. But then he goes on in, like when he's writing to the Corinthians, and he talks about how he came to them, how he came in weakness and fear and trembling, you know, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So if there's anything of value in what I say today, any of the words I speak, it's because it's something spiritual that God is doing, not because of any of my cleverness or, you know, any of my gifting or anything like that. So my prayer is truly that God would move, that the Spirit would move here this morning, and you know, whatever it is that you catch, you're catching it from him, not from me. But Paul goes on in Romans chapter 1, not just to say, I long to bring you something, but actually that we'll be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. He's like really open about that. He's like, I know that I'm going to receive something great when I come to you as well. And so I'm trusting that, I mean, this for me this morning is a stretching thing. You know, stepping outside of my comfort zone again. And we have those experiences every now and then where God takes us outside our comfort zone to stretch us. And sometimes that is in the process of bringing something to someone else. We ourselves grow. And that is really the heart and the burden that I felt to bring this morning, is that it's not about our strength. It's not about our courage or our ability, but it's about allowing God to bring us again outside our comfort zone so that we may grow, so that we may be encouraged and built up and strengthened. And in doing so, God is at work. God is at work. You know, Paul says, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, and it's that enabled him. That's part of what enabled him to get beyond his own sense of weakness, his own sense of inadequacy, and the fear and trembling that seems to have gripped him, even, you know, when he was breaking new ground, when he was doing something new. So he's coming into Corinth, and he's keenly aware that he hasn't got what it takes. If we look at 1 Corinthians, you know, what he says about the church, and he begins saying, you know, none of you guys were wise or clever, you know, none of you had much to offer, you know, God. It wasn't because of your great gifts. It wasn't because of, you know, anything particularly special that he chose you, but he did call you because of love, because of his great love. And really, I think so often many of us sit in our own sense of inadequacy. You know, I think, you know, if I was to unpack for you who I am, you know, who is this Dave Dennis character who's standing up there with a microphone, and by what, you know, virtue have I earned this right? Well, I'll tell you, it's not by any of my own virtue. You know, when we were feeling called to go and plant a church, and Caroline, I have to be honest, she was about a year and a half or 2 years ahead of me on that journey in her own heart and her own understanding. She got a clear vision from God. God is going to call us to plant a church. And I took a while to get on board with that. And part of that was a clear sense of my own inadequacy, what I didn't have. You know, I was concerned about what I'm not, because, you know, we're talking about church planting. We're not going to take over another church. We're going to go and do something new. And I was, that for me was so far outside my comfort zone. I was like, I can't do that. You know, I think even, I can remember even as I was getting my, I don't know if it might have been my trainee minister's credential many years ago, and there's the questionnaire that you fill out, and it asks you about what's your vision, what's your sense of calling. And I remember clearly, you know, I was serving under Ian Miller as our senior pastor, and I'd been involved in ministry for many years. I was at the time on the eldership at Hornsby, and I'd been serving in the worship team since I was 15. I was part of the Hornsby Church from when it began, and I was just a 15-year-old kid at that time. And I'd been, you know, up here playing bass and guitar and sometimes leading worship, and I'd grown in all that. That was my comfort zone now. So it wasn't about being on a platform. That doesn't make me uncomfortable. But put a guitar in my hand, I'm very comfortable. You know, and I'd been leading the worship team for 10 years up there, and it was a great team, a lot of really talented musos, and we were doing good stuff. I'd done all these sorts of things, but now it's like, but starting a church from scratch, and I knew I'm not there to collect Christians from other churches, you know, who've got reason to want to shift for whatever reason. You know, that's not what it's about. If we do this, this is about seeing people who are far from God coming to know Christ and coming to discover their new identity as a new creation in Christ. And I was like, I can't do that. I was feeling terribly inadequate. That's not my gifting. Now, I can tell people the gospel. I'm comfortable to talk to people. But, you know, there are some people that are just gifted. And anyway, I could probably spend a lot of time talking about that. I was just really keenly aware of what I was not. And one of the key things that God had to do in me was to remind me and reveal more to me. It's not about me. And it's not about my giftedness and my strength and all that. Now, God does gift us, each one. He equips us to be an active part of the body. There's not a single person in the kingdom of God that doesn't have an anointing from God and a part to play and good works prepared in eternity, as Paul writes in Ephesians, that God's already got things lined up. He's like, you're going to love this. You know, when you find your place and you find those things that I've shaped you for, you're going to love this. That's everybody, right? But if we get hung up on what we're not, then then we'll be, that's like a debilitating sort of condition to sit in. But I just thought, you know, I might share a couple of things that have happened since we've moved up there. You know, at the outset, when Caroline had a very clear, it was either a dream or a vision. I'm getting unclear on that myself now. But a dream about this particular big tree in Port Macquarie. It's like a landmark. And she was like, we're going to Port Macquarie. I just know it. Now, I knew straight up, just like Trev said before, what a great calling. I'm like, I do not trust my heart in that. Because that's too nice. You know, to go from where we were in Hornsby, I'd always wanted to be near the beach. I wanted to be a surfer and all that. And I used to travel down to the beach. And I've never been good at surfing because I never lived close to the water. So I was like, man, that's just like too nice. And it took me a while to get on board with that as well. But I just want to share with you how God leads us into His heart for things. You know, we went to Port Macquarie this one weekend. We were traveling through, going to a wedding up north, and we decided we'd stop in overnight on the way back just to pray, just to sit and walk around the town and check things out. And so we went for a walk this morning. And we were just kind of praying as we did it and went up on this headland, up this little skinny goat track to the top of this headland and just praying and looking out over the water and over the beaches. As we come down, it's like 10:30 in the morning and there's a guy in the car park who just comes up and starts talking to me. There is absolutely no reason why he should do this, but he comes up and just starts talking to me and starts telling me about his 20-year heroin addiction. How he'd spent millions of dollars on drugs. And he went on and he had a bottle of beer in his hand. He was already getting into the beer. Just pouring his heart out. And it's like God just peeled back this veneer of a beautiful location with postcard beaches, you know, and all this. And there's a guy who's just sharing his brokenness. And, you know, I didn't have the opportunity there and then to do what we had all hoped, which is to lead him to Christ and all that. But part of his story was how he felt the churches, when he'd gone for help, had abused him and just, you know, were all about asking for money and this and that thing. And it's just, it's a sad indictment, I think, on the church sometimes when that's someone's reflection of their journey of trying, can God help me, you know? So anyway, God just broke my heart a bit there and said, okay, I'll put up with what other people might think about why we've gone there. And it is a beautiful place. But, you know, beauty, comfort is a real enemy of faith. And being in a beautiful place can actually make it a real serious uphill battle sometimes to actually get outside our comfort zone. Some of the things that we've experienced since we've been up there, we've gone through major flooding last year. Before that, we had major bushfires tearing through the town and destroying homes and things. I mean, that was widespread, wasn't it? It was like all over the east coast of Australia. We've just a couple of weeks ago, as I was playing in a band in one of the local pubs on Saturday night, Caroline was sitting just around the corner. She'd come into the gig and they were just sort of, I feel like I haven't got enough time to tell you all the stories in the background of some of these things. But while I'm playing in a band in the pub on Saturday night, and, you know, the reason I'm doing that is because God opened a door, an opportunity. And I just felt, as I was like, God, is this something I should be getting involved in? I just felt like Jesus say, where else would I be on Saturday night than down at the pub with those who need to hear the good news? And so while I'm playing, Caroline's sitting out on the street around the corner with a girl who can't even walk. She's, you know, they're holding her hair up so she's not vomiting in her hair and just caring for her, making sure she gets in a taxi that's going to look after her and take her home and all that stuff. So, you know, we are called, each one of us, called to be people who represent Christ. Represent him not just to each other here on a Sunday morning, but represent him to a broken and lost world. And, you know, I've grown up in the church. I've done my whole life hearing the message of the gospel. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 10, to the degree to which a 10-year-old can. You know, we can only ever truly give him the moment we have now. What it actually is about trusting, believing, receiving. It's about receiving, really. It's not about giving, is it? We talk about giving Jesus our life, giving him our heart. Actually, we're receiving. We're the ones receiving in this exchange. I got nothing to give him. What's that old song? All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. He made something beautiful of my life. So I've been walking with the Lord for 44 years, I guess, and if you include the fact that I was constantly hearing about him, well, for my whole life. And yet still, I will stand here and I will tell you in all honesty, I struggle with that calling. I wrestle with my own inadequacy, and I just want, I think, you know, if there's one thing that I would want to share with you this morning, is that I feel God wants us to deal honestly with the barriers that we have in our own lives to fulfilling that calling. You know, our CRC charter talks about the Great Commission, Matthew 28. You know, all authority in heaven on earth and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. All authority in heaven on earth, and I am with you. That's what brackets our missionary calling. That Jesus is here with us, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth. You know, when Jesus encountered the man possessed by legion, many demons, and he sets him free, and this man wants to go with Jesus, what does he tell him? Go home to your own people and tell them everything that God has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. In our own salvation, there is a calling to go and tell how much God has done. What does Peter say to the believers? 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, always be ready. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know, the readiness Peter talks about is wrapped up in a package of the world doesn't understand and the world doesn't like Jesus and the message of the gospel. It is actually an offense. And yet he says when they're attacking you out of their offense and they're upset and they're hurt, do it with gentleness and respect so that what actually happens is it gets turned around. But we do have these barriers and we have to deal honestly with it. You know, we had our state conference earlier this year out up in Orange and really enjoyed what our guest speakers, Joel Shaw and Steve Addison, brought. You know, we talked about this 411 training, which is really being equipped to be someone, a follower of Jesus, who actually knows how to lead someone else into being a follower of Jesus. how to be a disciple that makes new disciples, that, you know, with God's help, in with Jesus being with us, with that his power and authority, actually seeing people come to faith in Christ, that to fulfill that calling. And I really love that, you know, learning the three circles, that method of telling the gospel. We actually just last Sunday night got to the point of bringing that to our own congregation, and we did we kind of changed our normal Sunday gathering so that we had worship and prayer and communion. And then we said, look, if you want to go, if you don't want to do this training, that's fine, you go home. But instead of preaching, we went through that. And I actually did that training with our people. Most people stayed. But the thing is, when it comes to it, many of us still wrestle. And I think there's two big things I want to put the finger on just briefly. The first is fear. Fear of what other people think. Fear of our own inadequacy. I can't do, I don't know how to speak, I'm not very good at this, I don't know what to say. But the other one, and here's the thing I actually feel like is potentially the worst thing, and potentially the more common thing, because it's the most natural thing in the world for the Holy Spirit that lives in each one of us to want to share the gospel. Our flesh, my flesh, actually sits largely in a place of apathy. We need to deal honestly with that. You know, something like one of the words I heard, or one of the phrases I've heard since COVID, and just having a couple of years of this constant onslaught of stuff, and it's really ongoing even now. There's people getting sick everywhere. We've got people in our congregation who, through their work and engagement in like either healthcare or prisons or things like that, have just copped a lot of exposure, and they've used up their holidays, they've used up their sick leave, and now they're just having to take, the moment they get sick, they have to take unpaid leave and stuff. Like, we seriously have a pandemic of compassion fatigue now. We're just over it, And we talk about sharing the gospel, and if we're trying to ever do that and live that out in our own strength and our own ability, we can't. We cannot sustain it. So what do we do? What do we do about our fear? What do we do about compassion fatigue? I just haven't got anything left to give. I can't go out there. You know, in recent times I've been really pursuing, out of my own need, a sense of my own need, to grow in intimacy with the Lord. And that sounds like a no-brainer, and yet, I mean, like, really pursue it. Really pursue it. Choose what I'm reading. Things that really dig deeply into the issues of my own heart, not just superficially. You know, how much does my lack of compassion actually impact the way I do life with those around me? And that can be hard work. That can be hard work, because it's actually about, I'm actually willing to confront those areas of my life where maybe I still need healing, where maybe I still need God to transform me. So I've been reading a few books. Like, I just finished reading, finally got around, many years I've known a lot of people who've gone and done like YWAM-DTS and things like that, and I've always heard about this, book by Floyd McClung called The Father Heart of God. I finally got around to reading it. You know, just to really explore my own to really expand my vision of God's fatherhood, His true fatherhood, what He models for us and what He gives to us as our Father. I've been just starting to read through a book, a well-known Christian book called A Celebration of Discipline by a man called Richard Foster, which really just digs into how we grow through spiritual disciplines, prayer, meditation, studying of Scripture, fasting, all of these things, worship, you know, the discipline of serving in church. You know, there are these things we call spiritual disciplines, but the thing is, if we don't engage with them with the Spirit of God as our guide, we can make the mistake of falling into law, you know, that it's somehow about, you know, we just become, it's another religious thing that we have to do to somehow measure up to what God wants for us. You know, it's like, if I do this, I'll be transformed into the image of Christ. Actually, no, and Richard Foster makes this point very strongly at the start of the book. It's like, if you do that, you're missing it. Because it is about grace. It's about salvation and transformation as a free gift. It's about life from Christ and through Christ as a free gift. And yet, he says, we can fall into the opposite trap of thinking that grace means there's nothing for me to do. We're called to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And how do we do it? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, we gaze upon Him, unveiled, nothing between us and God. But as we gaze upon Him, we reflect His glory. As we contemplate His glory, we're transformed into His likeness. And these spiritual disciplines are the how. This is how we gaze upon His glory. This is how we sit at His feet and receive. And there is something in that for us to do. Dallas Willard, a close friend and contemporary of Richard Foster, says, grace is not opposed to effort, only to earning. We cannot earn God's grace by what we do. But within grace, there is a place for effort to receive. It can be a hard thing sometimes to receive. Yeah? Is there anybody here that's like, finds it, you know, much easier to say be generous towards someone else than to receive generosity? That can be like a deeply ingrained thing for some of us. I know, like, many years ago when we were in England spending time with Caroline's mum and dad, I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, but it's like whenever we went out somewhere, he just wanted to always be the one paying. It's like, this is what a dad does, you know, and to always, and we're like, can we bless you? And he found it so hard to receive. You know, sometimes God's got to break that in us, that we're actually truly able to receive and to not feel like we have to perform somehow to deserve God's free gift. And yet there is something for us to do. These spiritual disciplines of prayer, of meditation, of studying Scripture, of taking time with God, of actually belonging, participating in church life in all the different ways, they position us before God in such a way that we are able to be transformed by Him. And that's why we are able to sit in this place. There's a tension between my weakness and God's power. You know, what did Paul say to the Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. After saying, you know, about the believers in the church in Corinth, is like, you know, not many of you were wise. Not, you know, not many of you were rich. What does he say? I'm going to read it out so I don't stuff around with the word of God. But brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. I think probably a lot of us can put our hand up and say, oh, I identify with that. You know, I'm pretty ordinary. I've been given the mic this morning. I'm standing up here, but I'm just so ordinary. But God chose, what did he choose? The foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. God turns the world upside down by choosing all the things that we wouldn't. He chooses the people that we wouldn't. He chooses methods that we wouldn't. Turns it all upside down. It is because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And I can tell you anything that's happening with us in Port Macquarie, anything that's happened through me, it's all because of God and not because of me. And what does Paul go on to say? Because we elevate Paul, like he's a superstar of the Christian faith, right? His very next sentence, and so it was with me. So it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Paul didn't feel like he had a really slick, polished gospel message. I didn't come with human wisdom. It didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I didn't come with eloquence. You know, the Greeks loved their public speaking. They loved that practice of oratory skill. It was like a highly elevated thing in their society. And he said, I didn't have that. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And that is how we attain to being someone who can preach the gospel, who can share it. And so we live in this tension, and I invite you to deal honestly with the state of your own heart before God on these matters. You know, if you're not feeling confident, if you're not feeling strong, be honest and ask him to fill you with his strength. You know, we have a great ally in the Holy Spirit. He is the power. That's what Paul's saying. I came with a display of the Spirit's power. And that happens in a lot of different ways. You know, I tell you, I am really quite ordinary. And yet, there's been times as I've positioned myself, and here's our real calling, to go deeper into God's love, not just for ourselves, but for the lost. to actually get his heart for our world. What does the scripture say? God so loved the world that he sent his only son. That whosoever believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God so loved the world. If we're going to engage and go deeper in God's love, then a massive part of that is his love for the world. If he chose to love and save me, how much more will he, does he love all those around who don't know him still? And the biggest way that we are transformed, you know, to overcome our weakness, I just want to go to 2 Corinthians and I'll wrap up. You know, doing the training for the 411 outreach training, they talk about two reasons. They talk about our why. And as I was conveying this part of the message to our church, and I actually spent some time preaching about it out before the training, you know, our why is probably the biggest thing to get. And in the training, they talk about our identity as a new creation, and they talk about our calling to be an ambassador from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And yet I feel like the why also often comes along with the baggage of the why nots. We have a lot of why nots. And so this is the heart of what I want to catch this morning, is we've got to deal with our why nots. Otherwise it's just works, you know, that we feel compelled out of a pressure to obey the commands of Christ. And yet really it's about loving Christ, and it's about experiencing God's love so that our why is wholehearted, not half-hearted. You know, and Paul talks about the new identity in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we know it quite well. You know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know what? I like to rewind a little bit further back up. What does Paul say in verse 11, just before all that? Therefore, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us. Sorry, verse 14, further down. For Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. And it's when we open ourselves up to Christ's love, not my love. I get compassion fatigue real quick. You know, if I'm sitting at home and I hear about stuff going on in other people's lives, I can be real easy to switch off to that. I'm just being honest with you. But can I tell you, when I position myself with people in pain, I'm overwhelmed by the love of God for them. And we can't give in to compassion fatigue. And if we're feeling that, I just want to suggest that's actually then our own strength that we're operating in. You know, as I was praying this morning, I'm standing in the shower and I'm just praying for this morning, and I was thinking about some of the things where God has used us in Port Macquarie. One of them, you know, our heart for unity in the city is really not about, it's not about doing events together. It's not about somehow getting everybody in the same room to worship God. You know what it looks like? In the last year, it's looks like Caroline and I sitting with other couples who are leading churches who are just so hurt and wounded and broken. And just weeping with them. And letting God's love move in that space to bring healing and hope. To rekindle a vision and a sense of God's calling on their lives when they're just like, I'm done. That for me is the truest expression of unity, is those who are, you know, across denominational divides and that. And as I was in the shower this morning and just praying, God was just showing me again. It's when we sit with those who are hurting, when we actually make room for those who are broken in our lives, that's when we encounter the love of God in a fresh way. But we can't always be out there on the coalface and doing that and not doing the other of sitting quietly in silence and solitude, sitting with the Lord. Doing what Jesus modeled, time alone with the Father. And it's in both that we discover the means of God's grace moving through us. So I'm going to finish there. I've probably gone on longer than should have. It's hard though to try and condense a journey of, you know, years really. Into a few minutes. But there's an invitation for us to go deeper into God's love. Not to get better at evangelizing, get better at witnessing, become more clever. God doesn't need us to be more clever. He needs us to be more loving. But it's not our love, it's His. And so why don't we pray and just I'll hand over to Pastor Trevor again. And if you want prayer for anything, I gather that we'll move into just a time that's open for that. But why don't we all pray? Lord, you know our hearts. You know our weakness. You remember that we are dust, as the psalmist says. You know, God, that we lack love, that we don't have anything of what's needed to save the lost and the broken and the hurting. You know, God, that sometimes we slip into trying to do things our way or in our own strength. You know, Lord, that we struggle. We struggle with guilt over having crap quiet times or lazy prayer lives or whatever. You know the things where our weaknesses are. And so, Lord, we know that we need you to change us. We know that we need you to be anything of value to this world and to its desperate need, that our availability is the only thing that we can offer. So I pray for revelation, God, in each of our lives. The revelation that shows us, God, our own need for you, that puts the finger on the places that maybe we've not been dealing honestly with. And to make room for your love, God, that we would truly be on that journey of going deeper into your love. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Amen.